If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast, episode 166. This is your bi-week episode. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. I have, if you stay tuned to the very end of this episode in the What We Learn segment, I have a game changer for those of you who get barbecue takeout, which is probably everybody, even quarantine or not. There's only so much barbecue you can eat at one sitting, so probably odds are you're going home with some no matter what. I've got a top tip. It's exciting. And that's all I got. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. Did not sleep very well last night.
What? It has nothing to do with...
Nope.
Okay.
Has everything to do with football. No, I'm kidding. No, the newest addition to the family was restless.
Columbia was restless.
Mm-hmm.
He stays in the back room. People don't know that Spencer and his family has hosted Henry Columbia this whole time. It's been, you know, really nice of them to open up their home. But Columbia stays up late.
Yeah, the 10-yard width of my backyard, he throws a really nice ball.
Yeah. Your fence has seen better days. It's hard to catch those. They're really fast.
All right. For those that may be new, you can obviously follow us on the social media accounts, Twitter at 23 Personnel. You can follow me, Spencer at Puntsuck, Michael at Michael underscore LBK. You can find us on Instagram at 23 Personnel Podcast. You've heard us talk about it several times before, but guys, I cannot say how comfortable this hoodie is from Teespring. We love our shirts that we've got from them. Check it out. Teespring.com/stores/23personnel podcast. Proceeds help out the show, bring you better quality content here. I like to think that we have one of the best sounding podcasts out there, and that's because of you guys.
Yeah. And not because of my voice.
Oh, I think it has very little to do with the sounds of our voices.
Yeah. Although, I couldn't agree any more than that. Yeah.
I think they're pretty good. As always, not as always, but we, as the Rona rolls, as the Keith likes to say, we will be maintaining our appearances on the Rob Bro College Tailgate show Saturday, 10 to noon. Michael won't be there this weekend. I'll have to take over for his spot. So it'll be a double dose of Spencer as he took over for me for 2 weeks. I get to help out just a little bit this week. 10 to noon Saturday on Talk 1340. It's 1340 AM and ESPN 960 down in San Angelo on KKAM.com or the Talk 1340 mobile app. Michael is also guest appearing. He's making a guest appearance on the Bosco's Boys podcast, which is the Kansas State Armchair Media Network podcast. I was on there to help with their Texas Tech preview. Their host Scott was obviously on ours. They reached back out for a separate special project they're doing. Michael is going to help out for them. So if you want to check out that episode, Michael, you have any deets for them?
Just look for it this week. As far as I know, basically Scott's going around to all of the fellow Big 12 armchair podcast hosts and just trying to get their feel on how they think the Big 12 is going, with it being kind of a big anniversary year, and you know, what they would change, what teams you would add or wouldn't add, what teams you would kick out, all that kind of good stuff. So we talked about some interesting Big 12 aspects, and he's just trying to hit up everybody. So look for that in your podcast feed, Bosco's Boys. And thanks again to Scott for having me.
So as a little bit of a teaser, Michael, who would you kick out of the Big 12?
Texas Christian.
Okay. Defend.
They have like 10,000 students, and we already have a private Christian school from Texas in the conference. Let's just kick them out.
Okay.
And I would not miss facing Gary Patterson every single year.
Well, I mean, with the way that games are starting to get canceled around the conference, there may be an opportunity to duck the Horns this year. Not the Horns, the Frogs.
Yeah, we've already
lost that chance.
Yeah.
All right, this week we will be talking football, even though Texas Tech's on a bye week, which means even more look back, going to retouch, rehash, reopen these wounds from the Iowa State game this past weekend one more time, give you some updates on our longstanding secondary update, look around the country at the top 25, see who's moved in, who's moved out, and then look at the Big 12 schedule from this past weekend, Big 12 coming up. And then get to the aforementioned barbecue takeout game changer life hack from Michael.
Oh yeah, it's worth it. Stay tuned.
Guys, the wait is finally over. Triple header fun is upon us this week. Football's in full effect with many teams starting their stuff early. NBA finals just wrapped up. MLB playoffs are in full swing, getting closer to that World Series. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code Armchair to take advantage of all the great signup bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Michael?
Yes?
You want to talk some football?
I guess if we have to.
If we have to. All right, let's do it.
Welker takes it at the 11. He's going to try to get to the right sideline, breaks a tackle. He's got running room at the 30, the 35, 40. He's the midfield, the 45, 40. He may go. 25, 10, touchdown, Red Raiders.
Davis Webb, the freshman, screen underneath Derek Moore, breaks a tackle, still running up the sideline, turns on the juice, touchdown.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So Harrell in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
He breaks. Oh, he's the touchdown, Red Raider. Unbelievable.
Touchdown. Red Raiders. Michael Crabtree has done it.
Let the scoring begin.
All right, Michael, I don't know if it's advisable, but I'd like to go back and look at Texas Tech's last possession before halftime this past weekend in Ames.
If we must. I mean, we are gluttons for punishment because we're going to review quite a few things from the season so far.
Okay, so I think a lot of people have been on this, and I just want to talk it through one more time for I guess for my sake. I don't know where, like, what I want to think or what to think about all this, because going into halftime, going into halftime, Texas Tech takes the ball over, on their 20. So it was a touchback, I think, on a punt. Texas Tech takes the ball over with a minute 18 to go. Matt Wells, David Yost call two plays, a 3-yard run and a 1-yard loss of a run on a run, and runs out the clock. They had two timeouts left, plenty of time to attempt to move the ball. I don't think there was enough time, even had they gone 3 and out, that they would have punted and let Iowa State have a chance at it again. Iowa State had 3 timeouts, so I mean, I don't think they would have pushed to stop the clock, but I guess where I'm going with this post-game comments, I think we've all kind of touched on it. Matt Wells was asked why, like, what was the thought process going into that possession? And he said, you know, he said, we weren't going to get the first down, and I don't want to put the defense back on the field, or I don't want to give Iowa State the ball again.
Yeah. And first off, okay, he may have been right, because so far on the day, Tech had mustered 3 first downs. They were 0-for-4 on third down at halftime. It was not looking good. So he may have been right, but that's not a good enough reason for me.
and
that's just not, it's just because he's maybe right about that. That's not a good enough reason.
It's one of those things where, like, we appreciate transparency, but, like, when he says this, we're like, dude, what are you doing?
not that transparent.
Because here's the thing. It opens up more questions. Going into halftime, like, he had a little halftime interview going into the locker room, admitted that the offense had left plays on the field, the quarterback was inconsistent and not accurate, all these things. Pair this with we were not going to get the first down there with a minute 18 or minute 20, whatever it was. And then you trot out Alan Bowman to start the third quarter. Like, you wait until the middle of the fourth quarter to say, we need a spark here. We need a change in what we're doing. You were down 31-7 at that point. There's no spark.
No, I mean, if there's a spark, you're in the middle of a rainforest. It's not going to matter. Everything's going to just be just like it was before it started. There might be a little brown spot on the floor, on the forest floor, but that's it.
Brown spot?
Yeah,
we'll talk about that too. So we all know that Henry Columbia does come in midway through the fourth quarter. I don't know how much of a grain of salt to put towards his performance. Like, I don't want to say, oh my gosh, he came in and lit the world on fire and, like, overvalue his performance, or say he came in against backups. They completely weren't, they were playing prevent defense. And they would have done the same thing to Bowman, but they just didn't. It's somewhere in the middle there, I think, because we're not sure, because he didn't have the best comparative stats against Iowa State. However, he did not play against the backups in Manhattan against Kansas State, and had a very similar spark or approach when he came into the game. The offense looked and felt different. So Wells and Yost make that change way too late. And we're all like, this actually calls into your decision making. Like, it calls into question, like, why you waited so long to do this. Because look, he's doing well. Had he come out 21-7 and he leads us, a touchdown drive early in the third quarter, you were able to stop Iowa State on their first two possessions in the third quarter. Had you come out and put up a field goal or maybe even a touchdown to close the lead 21-14, like, this game may have looked a whole lot different. It may have not. I mean, Iowa State may have like just poured on the gas and just like, screw you guys.
I mean, they definitely ran the ball a lot more and they were less creative in how they ran the ball in the second half. I know that Breece Hall's numbers, he carried it about 10 more times, but only had about 20 or 30 more yards. So it didn't really seem like they were, like you said, kind of putting their foot on our necks or anything like that. But I think the latest that would have made sense to bring in Columbia would have been after the first offensive drive.
Yeah, I would have said the second possession in the third quarter. Like, had Bowman come out and looked exactly the same, like, okay, let's go ahead and make a change.
Yeah, that would have been, the latest that it would really have, one, made a difference, and two, not called in decision-making questions the whole time, because it was just, the game was over. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was just, okay, well, the quarterback battle's starting now for West Virginia. Maybe that was their thought process. I don't agree with that either. I would have, as painful as it might have been, I would have rather seen Bowman just finish it out than force Columbia in there when there's nothing he can do except score our only offensive touchdown for the day. But
and threw anyway. Like three touchdowns in the process.
Yeah, so now, I mean, because of this, and unfortunately because Bowman was hurt in Manhattan, we got us a good old-fashioned quarterback controversy in October, and that's never happened before in Lubbock. It's new. It's the first. We've never experienced this ever. So,
welcome
to this brand new thing we've never had happen.
I told this to my brother, like, it obviously draws a comparison to Taylor Potts and Stephen Sheffield in 2009. Taylor Potts is injured. He had a concussion. I can't remember if it was against Texas or New Mexico, but it was early on in the season that year. I know he got blown up in Austin by Sergio Kendall.
Yes, would have been a targeting and ejection.
In 2020, it would have been an immediate ejection.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
It was in Austin. I think it was Randy Crystal that was on the call, or Bible, whatever his name was. Both big UT fans calling games in the state of, or in Austin. Anyways, and then Sheffield comes in. Like, he comes in for an injured, ineffective Taylor Potts. The offense looks differently. It moves the ball differently. It's a lot more exciting. Taylor Potts is healthy, come back, and they go back and forth. Sheffield ends up getting his foot stepped on by Ndamukong Suh, and Lincoln breaks his foot. And then I guess that opens the door back up for Potts to start making a competition out of it. And then Sheffield doesn't really play again until late in the bowl game against Michigan State.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it divided the fan base. So you had a traditional pocket passer, dude with a cannon for an arm. Like, he could just pick apart defenses, and throw. Like, he was really good, but if there's any pressure, like, he couldn't move. He was kind of a liability. Obviously he got blown up in Austin. And then you had Sheffield, who was a lot more mobile. He wasn't necessarily a running quarterback, but in the sense of like
Tony Romo-esque or something like that. He was a scrambler.
Yeah. Like, he was able to move his feet to extend the play to be able to find a receiver, which is what Columbia feels a lot like. Like, he's not a scramble. Like, he does run and pick up yards, and he is effective or efficient, usable on like an actual option play, whereas Bowman isn't, like, that's just a handoff. Anyway, so I was like, you know, it could turn out a lot like this, where the offense may look a whole lot different, but I don't know.
It could be. I mean, it's similar to Mayfield and Webb too. It's kind of similar to that controversy. You kind of have probably Bowman's more of the Webb type, and you know, Columbia's more of the Mayfield type.
Or so it even goes back to last year, like Bowman versus Duffy.
Yep. There's that. There's, I was obviously kidding. There's been our share of quarterback quote unquote controversies over the last 10 years for sure. I mean, it goes back to when I was a student, if QB1 was stinking it up, QB2 was always the most popular guy on the team until they came in and messed it up. And then it was kind of like, all right, well, who's left? So it's just always gone that way. But I think we have some stats to kind of back us up a little bit. And something that we've mentioned for a good while now with Bowman is you and I have been concerned with his inability to connect consistently on deep passes since he started. You know, he was a little bit better, I think, in 2018, but not much. And that could have been because of his receiving core then, but I'm just not sure. I mean, I think we have some quantifiable stats here that can kind of back us up a little bit for wanting to see Columbia and just see what he can do.
Yeah. And I remember when we talked about stats with Bowman versus Duff, you were like, actually they're a lot more similar than people would think. They had similar completion percentages. They had similar touchdown percentages, although Bowman skewed obviously a lot more passing, where Duffy didn't have as many passing touchdowns, but he made it up with rushing touchdowns. They had the same number of turnovers, like surprisingly similar in the outcomes, but it looked and felt a whole lot different. This is not the case. Let's go ahead and say that now. This is not Bowman and Columbia. Like, I don't know what Coach Wells and David Yost are seeing in practices. I don't know what's making them make the decision to continue to start Bowman. Hopefully when they trot out there in 2 weeks versus West Virginia, we're seeing Henry Columbia start, because I think if Bowman comes out, there will be a full on riot.
There could be.
But because, like, yeah, okay, so
go ahead.
Kyle pointed this out. Kyle Jacobson also contributed to Taking the Plains. He said, going back into the Texas game, the past 24 offensive drives for Texas Tech has scored on 4 of them. Henry Columbia was the quarterback on the field for all 4 of those scoring drives, which means Alan Bowman was the quarterback of record for the other 20 non-scoring drives.
That's a lot.
It's not good, Bob.
That's bad. And we've got some more stats, man. I dug into some stuff, guys. So I'll try to do this in a way that if you're listening, it won't be too boring, but I'm going to try to run through them. So basically what I did was look at Bowman versus Columbia this season in conference play. Obviously it's not going to be exactly perfect. Bowman was injured and didn't get to finish Kansas State, and you know, Columbia's never gotten the chance to start a game. So, okay, take that as you know, but that's what we're going to try to do. So completion percentage, Bowman in these 3 games, 59.3%.
Yikes.
Columbia's 74.1%. And Columbia's thrown 40 for 54. So it's not like he's just thrown, you know, 10 for 15 or whatever that would work out to be.
And Bowman has attempted 81 passes. So it's like they're not really that far apart in number of attempts.
Yeah. Bowman has obviously thrown more. So he's thrown for 451 yards, 5.6 yards per catch. Columbia's thrown for 359 yards, 6.6 yards per catch.
Okay. Like, neither of those numbers are great, But no. Your starting quarterback has a 5 yard per catch average.
Yeah. And like I said, this is just Big 12 play. I thought that was kind of the, you know, let's leave the HBU game out of this. I don't think that would have helped Bowman a lot anyway, but still. So rushing or passing touchdowns, Bowman has 5, Columbia with 3. I did pass over this. Rushing yards, Bowman has 0 rushing yards. Not even 1, not 2, not negative. I mean, he has not carried the ball at all in those 3 games. Columbia has 51 yards, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's 3.6 yards per attempt. So when he moves, a lot of times he gets somewhere.
And that does include, like, the only time that Texas Tech has given up a sack on offense, it's been to Columbia. So he's been sacked, Bowman hasn't, which means he's actually rushed for,
closer to 60.
So 51 is like the net, but his rushing yards is going to be a little bit higher than that.
Yep. So I think I already said this, but I'll do it again. Bowman, 5 touchdowns, Columbia 3. Bowman, 3 interceptions, Columbia 1. Now, Bowman has thrown, you know, almost 30 more passes. So that's still probably more than it should be of a disparity. The longest pass for both of these guys is not great. Bowman completed a 29-yarder. Columbia completed a 28-yard pass. So those are practically neck and neck. But then you get to the rating. Bowman has a rating of 119 in conference play this year. Columbia, 144.5.
That's significant.
And I think a lot of it, yeah, and a lot of it comes down to yards per catch, which, you know, we're talking about only 1 yard difference, but, you know, maybe that 1 yard could get you a first down more often than not. But really the completion percentage, I hadn't realized how down Bowman has been. And this includes the Texas game, but, you know, the Texas game had some misses, man. But, you know, obviously Iowa State was probably his worst outing on that. But just at this point, with this small sample size of 3 games, Tech has lost 3 games in a row. Try something different, man. Just try something different. That's one thing we kind of ding these coaches on, is they get so stubborn and hard-headed, and they're like, well, we're not going to change because this is what we've decided and this is what we're going to do. Even if we see something that we don't like, we're not going to change until there's 8.5 left in the fourth quarter and it doesn't matter. But maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to give it a change. Everyone likes Bowman. We like Bowman. I mean, I don't want to speak for Spencer, but I don't think it's not like any of us don't like the guy, but it just seems like at this point, Columbia, at least give him a shot. He just looks more comfortable running the offense.
I agree. And I would say that we agree there, because we haven't seen Columbia come out and, I mean, we haven't seen him start a game. We saw him play at least half, if not the majority of the game versus Kansas State. He didn't play at all versus Texas, and then played in garbage time versus Iowa State. So Bowman he's logged more game time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest coaches' leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But I want to go back to those yards for a second. Bowman's thrown for 451 yards and rushed for zero. Columbia's total yards is 410. And it felt like he's played like half of a game. Where, I mean, Columbia's may have totaled three quarters total versus Bowman's full game plus overtime versus Texas. The balance between whatever it was in Manhattan that Columbia didn't do, and then all of Iowa State until the middle of the fourth quarter. So like probably two full, like, was that nine quarters to Columbia's three? And there's a 41 yard difference. That's ridiculous. He's played three times as much as Columbia, and the yards are essentially the same. I want to see Columbia take a starting role. I want to see what he can do when he knows it's his offense and it's his game to play, and what he can do.
And not to continue to pile on Bowman, because like I said, it's not like we don't like him. He's a tough kid. The guy's been through hell as a player. Had just had horrible luck with injuries, and he seems like a smart kid, and the coaches like him, players like him, everybody. So, but to kind of bring our point home a little bit, I looked into, we've kind of alluded this in the past, of Bowman's record versus Power Five teams, but I've never actually dug into it till today, and it's not good. And I'm only including games that he has either completely finished or, you know, got hurt right at the end. Obviously, I'm not going to include West Virginia or OU in 2018. I am including Arizona in 2019 because he was injured, I believe, on the last offensive drive, possibly the last offensive play.
No, like he was injured late in the first half, but came back.
Oh, he came back. That's right.
He played the second half injured. Yeah,
you're right. You're right. And of course, I'm not including Kansas State because he was injured this season. I am including Iowa State, though, because he played the majority of the game and he wasn't injured. He was just pulled. So in those six games. This is kind of crazy too. And so far in, let's see, 28 football games, he's finished six against Power Five teams. And he's won.
Does not speak to his health or ability to stay healthy.
Correct. Of those six games, he is 1-5. His only win was what we felt like at the time was a pretty monumental win in Stillwater in 2018.
Oh, it was huge. It was a lot of fun.
It was massive.
It was so much fun.
It was the first time
you put it on the Cowboys in Stillwater.
Yeah, 41-17. So I'm also including Ole Miss because, I mean, Bowman got thrown into that game in 2018 and Tech lost. But I'm counting. I mean, that's going to have to count against him.
McLean Carter was injured, the second drive?
I think so. It was second or third. And then Bowman was trotted out pretty soon after that. So unfortunately, I won't go through all the stats. But so 2018, lost to Ole Miss. Beat Oklahoma State, lost to Iowa State after he came back from his injury. This is not counting against him, but I just wanted to point out that probably his best game was against OU, where he was hurt and was unable to compete in the second half. He was 21-26, 227 yards, two touchdowns, and Tech was up 31-28 at halftime. That was a heck of a performance. So just so y'all don't think we're haters or something, that was an awesome game. Of course, so was the Oklahoma State game. I mean, he had two picks that game, and Tech ran for 220-something yards, so that helps. But he really did have a good game. The fourth loss, or the third loss, comes in Arizona last year, of course, 28-14, and then two losses this year against Texas and Iowa State. Another thing to note in these losses, or not these losses, but these games against Power Five opponents, Tech's offense only averaged 27.5 points per game. But in the other games that he played, you know, the Lamars and the Houstons and Montana States and all that, Tech was averaging 49 points per game. That's a huge drop.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of where we're at. I mean, I think most fans are this way too. As always, QB2 always looks the most enticing when QB1's struggling. But this isn't just this year. This is kind of a trend, unfortunately. And he put up some big numbers, but they were against teams that, you know, when you put up 77-0 against Lamar, that's going to help. That's going to help your stats a little bit.
Going to pad the stats. Or you put up 63 versus Houston.
Yeah. Yeah. And but when you go 1-5 in games that you actually play the majority of against Power Five teams, it's not good.
Yeah. So for those that are I guess having a hard time following along with all these numbers, the stats, the records, all that kind of stuff will be in the notes on the post that we do on Staking the Plains. So if you want to go check those out, look into them yourself. Stakingtheplains.com. They'll be up Wednesday. As soon as you can hear the podcast, this will be up on Staking the Plains. So stakingtheplains.com. Look for the 23 personnel podcast post. And you can see all this. Wanted to update the last 17 games. Texas Tech is 2-5. 2-15. Excuse me.
Oh, I was about to say 2-5. Oh my gosh.
2-15.
Yeah, so the full calendar year without a win against a Big 12 team is still in play because the last time Tech won was against West Virginia on November 9th last year.
And you've got two more opportunities or three?
I think just two. I think it's West Virginia and TCU. I think.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to roll through this too. We have a secondary update, TTU secondary update.
Yeah, here we go.
There are five games played right now. 76 FBS teams have played. Texas Tech is 72nd with passing yards allowed per game at 335.5, down from 347 last week. So trending in the right direction. Texas Tech is 73rd in passing yards allowed this season. 1,342. Unfortunately, still two of the three teams behind Tech have played. I think I got that wrong. No, Tech's only played four games.
Yeah, so two of the three teams behind Tech have played five games.
Yeah, Tech's only played four games this year. We're 1-3, not 1-4 or 2-3 or whatever. Sorry, guys. So, I think just that Houston Baptist game is just, it's going to be so hard to overcome stat-wise. Maybe by the end of the year, Tech's secondary will kind of crack into the top half or closer to the top half, but
you may also, we'll see. You may also find and face a more potent passing offense. Texas and Sam Ellinger, like, you did a pretty good job against them, but Kansas State and Iowa State, not really the dynamic passing offenses that you'll see against Oklahoma, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Baylor, probably. Kansas will try to throw against, like, basically everybody else left on the schedule are going to be better at throwing the ball than Iowa State and Kansas State.
And probably what I will do is, once the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and those guys start playing again, which I think is this week.
So this week or next week?
No, it's next week. It's the 23rd, 24th. Yep. That's when Big Ten comes back. So once they start playing again, I will quit paying attention to passing yards allowed in the season, because that's going to be so weird to compare with teams that have played one game versus teams that have played seven. So it'll just be, I'll only keep up with passing yards per game.
Yeah.
After that.
That makes sense. All right. Was that depressing enough?
Yeah, we're moving on to something a little bit more lighthearted, hopefully.
Hopefully. Because we're going to look around the rest of the conference. The rest of the country, the rankings. But before we get there, you need to go check out manscaped.com. Guys, Manscaped has released a new product, the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. Take a look in the mirror and I guarantee you will see hairs sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep up your ear and nose hair trimming and make them look as nice as the rest of your Manscaped body. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This device continues to deliver on their proprietary skin-safe technology, and it uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360 rotary dual-blade system. Waterproof, just like the lawnmower. 90 minutes of battery. Guys, you need to go check out Manscaped. Not landscaped. Manscaped. Manscaped.com. Check out all their products. Lawnmower, the weed whacker, the testy toner, the deodorants, all that great stuff. When you do that, listeners of this show can get 20% off plus free shipping when you use the code armchair. Go to manscaped.com. It's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds.
Guys, as you know, the wait's finally over. There's a lot of sports upon us this week. Football's in full effect. The NBA finals are over. But Major League Baseball playoffs are in full swing. Full swing. I finally get it.
Full swing.
You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to Bet Online today. Use promo code armchair and take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
All right. Top 25. Got some movement.
Ooh, we did.
Big 10
Tar Heels.
Yeah, Tar Heels. North Carolina jumped up to number 5. They were, it was predicted to be a close game versus Virginia Tech, I believe. It was not. North Carolina came out and handily defeated their opponent. I think it was 21, 24 points, something like that. Top four basically stayed the same. Notre Dame moved up to number 4 from number 5 because Who was number five? Where'd they go?
Florida? No, it wasn't Florida.
Notre Dame was five.
No, Florida was four, so that makes sense.
Okay. That's why. Florida dropped down to 10th. Anyways, Ohio State, staying strong there. Number six, hasn't played a game yet.
I have to tell you, I am extremely shocked that they didn't take this opportunity to move Ohio State to number five and bump North Carolina to number six instead of five.
Yeah, because
I'm very surprised that they didn't do that.
North Carolina did leapfrog Ohio State. Oklahoma State, yeah. Top rated ranked team in the Big 12, number seven. Our Cincinnati Bearcats, number eight.
Ugh, still don't believe it.
Penn State, number nine, haven't played a game yet. Florida lost to A&M. What the heck are you doing? 10th. Those same Aggies jumped from 21st to 11th. Oregon staying strong at 12. 12. Can't pronounce 12. Miami dropped from 7th to 13th after losing to Clemson. BYU, Auburn, Wisconsin, SMU, Tennessee, Michigan, Iowa State moved up a couple spots from 24th to 20th. Raging Cajuns moved up to 21st. Kansas State joins the rankings. USC has not played, but they joined the rankings this week and went from receiving votes to 25th. You know who I didn't say though? Yeah. Oklahoma or Texas.
Ooh,
neither one is ranked. Texas is receiving votes. They've only got 5 points. USC at 25th has 124 points. So they're quite a ways away from being ranked. Oklahoma, 71 points.
You know who also has 5 points? Houston, a team that went down huge early to Tulane and somehow came back and won. And is that the only game they've played? Have they played another game?
LSU.
They have the same votes as Texas.
LSU has 5 points. You know who's ahead of Texas? Liberty at 8 points.
Oh, ouch.
Air Force, Memphis, Army, teams that haven't even played yet. Iowa, Utah, Arizona State, Coastal Carolina. This is funny. Now, of course, we can say that because Texas Tech's not in this at all, but that's fine.
Everything's relatively funny. I did want to point out one thing. Oklahoma State's huge leap from number 10 to 7 came during a bye week. So good for them.
they held on to defeat the dreaded bye week. And they're getting a second bye week. I think we heard this the first time this happened since 1918.
You're right.
Another pandemic year. They had the game this weekend, scheduled this weekend versus Baylor. Got moved to the very last week of the scheduled season, December 12th, which means if they or Baylor or both of them are in contention to be playing in the conference championship game, the Big 12 is going to move the championship game to the following week, to the 19th.
Okay. I knew that they had some kind of flex opportunity there, and I'm sure that Jerry Wold will work with them.
I'm sure they're fine. Baylor, gosh, what is going on down there in Waco? They had reported 28 active cases on the football team alone. It is reported that, or at least they're thinking the reason why they got to this part is that they had a false negative. So a player that had COVID got a negative test result. So it was not being held out of team activities and unfortunately helped spread the virus through the football team. That's not scary at all, but
yeah,
they, last week over a bye week, they halted all team activities. And then this week they are rescheduling their game versus Oklahoma State. Now, what does that do for Oklahoma State? It gives them another week to prepare for Iowa State.
That's going to be a good game. Yeah.
It could be really big for Oklahoma State to get that much more time to get ready for the Cyclones. Or it could be too much time, like we see in the NBA playoffs, where a team kind of sits there for a while. Like if they win their series, you know, they sweep their series in four games or three games, whatever it is, and they have to sit waiting on their next opponent who goes through a seven-game series, and they're off for like a week, they're a little rusty.
Yeah, you can get a little bit cold.
So anyways, other games last weekend, obviously Texas, Oklahoma, they went to four overtimes. Overtimes? Yeah, he went to fourth overtime. Oklahoma pulled it out 53-45. The game that I was able to see, it was not good. It was ugly.
It was some ugly football. It looked like two unranked teams out there playing.
Guess what? Both of them are unranked teams.
Which is what it would be if it was this week. Yeah. And Oklahoma, I mean, bless their heart, they're just Texas Tech North right now. They went into the fourth quarter. I think they were up by two touchdowns. I'm not exactly sure, but I even tweeted something out like, oh, look, OU with a two-score lead in the fourth quarter. What could go wrong now?
They also went through a little bit of quarterback controversy in the middle of their game.
They did.
Spencer Rattler was pulled. I don't think it was injury-related, but like I said, I wasn't watching this game too closely. Mordecai came in, the guy from Waco. Play a little bit. Rattler ends up finishing the game. Other games this past weekend, obviously Texas Tech versus Iowa State. And then the battle of the purple teams. Kansas State was in Fort Worth. Kansas State wins 21-14, which was interesting because I think TCU was a touchdown favorite.
Yes. Yeah, blew my mind. TCU was, I think, a 6.5-point favorite. So this did not surprise me to see Kansas State go in there and do well. Unfortunately, they're going to have to go the rest of their season without Skylar Thompson. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Sorry
about
you.
Any Wildcat fans listening, that's really not cool. So good luck to y'all.
So remember when we talk about like the window of opportunity? If you're a Big 12 football fan, I think we brought it up several times. Like this is, when was the last time? I guess it was last weekend. We're on the third, we kind of looked around and we're like, or maybe it was the 26th. Either way, this upcoming weekend, October 17th, there is one game. Kansas versus West Virginia. 11 a.m. Yeah. on Fox. Who's getting up early, getting ready for the Fox Big Nooner? It's their Big Noon game.
Big Nooner Saturday. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make it for that one. We couldn't have timed this better. Spencer said I won't be on the radio show this weekend. That's because my wife and I are going out of town. And, you know, with COVID and everything, this is the second or third date that we just randomly, we booked this thing, this trip months ago. And we're supposed to go in May, and then we changed it to June, and then we changed it to October because we're just like, I don't know. And so we had no idea what the schedule was going to be. The schedule changed. It turned out not only is it a Tech bye week just by sheer luck, but the only game I'm going to miss is Kansas versus West Virginia. It'll be fine. I can catch up with the Cliff Notes on that.
You're not going to miss this game. And not that I'm saying you're going to check in on the game. Like there's not going to be anything to check in on.
I mean, I'll look at the highlights a little bit, see how Daigie did, you know, try to get a handle on some of the players that Tech's about to face. But yeah, grain of salt, all of it. Whatever happens that Saturday, it's just, who knows? You can't really take anything from it.
So if you're not like a college football fan, if you just like to watch Big 12, find something else to do this weekend. Go catch up on errands. Go pull out your Halloween decorations. go clean up the garage. If there is a game to check in on, it's
Alabama-Georgia.
Alabama-Georgia Saturday night.
Yep. Just time your day around that. Catch the Cliff Notes on how West Virginia did against Kansas. And that's that. Speaking of West Virginia, have you seen the starting time for October 24th when Tech heads? Well, is West Virginia here in Lubbock this year? Yes.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, have you seen the starting time of this game?
I have, and it makes no sense. I've never seen a game in Central Time set for this kickoff time.
So this is the Blue Plate special game. This is a 4:30 p.m. Central. This is the Senior Delight.
It's a senior discount.
The Senior Buffet at Furs or Luby's or, you know, RIP Luby's. But that's what it is. It's the 4:30 p.m. game on ESPN2. It just kind of feels really weird, man. I don't even know how to time this. I mean, the game's going to be ending right as I'm supposed to be putting my daughter to bed. Usually it's the game's over way before, or she's in bed at the beginning of the game, or I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to handle this.
You'll get a much more instant reaction that weekend.
That's a good point.
Because we're usually, we're tied up with other things on Saturdays, and we'll get to our instant reaction like late Saturday night after the kids have gone to bed. So morning and early afternoon games, there's a little bit of a time for us to cool off or just stew on it even longer. West Virginia, it'll be like final whistle. We get the kids in bed. We turn the computers on, the microphones on, and we're rolling.
Yeah, so it'll be pretty instant. That's true.
Yeah, I've never seen a football game start at 4:30.
It's new to me, man. Someone on Twitter was trying to kind of do Mr. Brightside on it. It's like, hey, well, it'll be kind of a night game.
Yeah, so that was Tristan McGonigal.
Right. Yeah, it was Tristan on the Talk and Tech podcast. If you'll have it, check that out.
Yeah, and I said, that's not a night game. He's like, well, by the end of the game, it'll be a night game.
He's like, you know, sure. Technically, like, okay, that's true. That's some glass half full stuff. I'm on board with that. Because by the time the game is over, yeah, I mean,
it will be dark
in Lubbock in fall. It's sun's down by 8 these days, so that game will probably be over 8:30 ish. Makes sense. I think he's right.
Yeah. So it makes me wonder: does Matt Wells consider this a night game? Does he wear all black?
I'd like to see it. I have no issue with wearing the all black. Just don't call it a blackout.
Yep.
Because then we're just doomed to lose.
All right. For a bye week, I think we'll kind of wrap that up. We'll get into what we learned.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
All right, Michael. Before you give us your barbecue takeout game changer, I learned something.
Okay, man, I'm ready.
I went to Four Golf Monday night. I had a friend, coworker, golf pro, essentially, because this dude was crushing it. A friend of the show, Harrison, actually lives in 23 Personnel Podcast North neighborhood, right around the corner.
Oh, wow.
Over there on Avenue X, I believe.
Yeah.
Anyways.
In the Northern Hills.
We went to Four. And I remembered, golf is not a kind game. It is. Okay, so this is my second ever time going to a driving range, swinging a golf club. So like super green, brand new. I'm sore. I hurt in weird places for swinging a club. I planned it on a day. So like they had a promotion for healthcare workers. So one, it's usually, if they're running a promotion, it's on a day that they need business. Like it's great. One, it's free for me. And it's also going to be not super busy. And I also went right at the very beginning of the promo. So it's like at 6 o'clock, there's probably not going to be a lot of people there. And I was right. At 6 o'clock, there weren't. By the time we left at 8, it was packed. So I was there. I was like, I know I'm going to make a fool of myself. I know I'm going to look stupid. I want to do this in front of as few people as possible.
You did not get that luxury.
I mean, I did for a while. And then we had parties come in on the lanes, like not lanes, but the tee boxes like right next to us. It's like, well, guys, if you want to have some entertainment, like just watch me for a minute. I feel like I have a better handle on what I'm doing wrong and how to correct it and get better. But it's one of those things where like, there's so many moving pieces to it that like you also kind of need somebody else watching you and telling you, oh, hey, by the way, you did this time. Or like if you record yourself, go back and watch. It's the golf swing is complex. Complicated. Well, and there's many pieces that are moving at the same time, many different instances to insert error.
It's such a skill. It's a skill. That's the issue. It's kind of like a woodworking or something. It's not like, I feel like with bowling is a skill. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong, but I feel like you can kind of muscle your way through bowling and be decent. You know, just don't fall on your butt and it'll be fine. You can't like muscle your way through swinging a golf club. It's all about finesse and skill and being precise and knowing exactly how your body tweaks and then always waking up the next day with a sore back.
Yeah. So my back is a little sore. And I think it's, I mean, because the proper stance over a golf ball, you have a little bit of bend at your waist, bending over forward. So you spend a lot of time bent forward with your lower back muscles engaged to kind of keep your body upright. Those are sore, definitely. The surprising muscles that are sore for me are actually my forearms, which is not good. You shouldn't be using your forearms in a golf swing. That tells you where I went wrong. Because it's not an upper body. It's not a strength contest to swing a club. It is you twist and rotate your body to create tension, and then you unravel that tension into your swing. Anyways, on to four golf. I'm sore. When I hit the ball well, I enjoyed it. I could see like myself enjoying this. I enjoyed watching my friend hit the ball much better.
Oh, it's like, a blast.
Because it's like, dude, that swing, and like it was nice. It sounded good when he hit the ball.
Yes.
He kept telling me like, I never hit the ball this straight. I was like, sure, dude, sure. Just beautiful shots. Like, he's like, don't feel bad. This is your second ever time. I've been playing this since I'm 12. Since I was 12. Like, he's my age. So he's been playing this for 20 years. I was like, well, yeah. I don't want to wait 20 years until I'm decent enough where I get to that kind of proficiency. But it may be.
Oh, I think it will be because I'm kind of like you. I've been to a driving range maybe four or five times. Luckily, it's always been a safe place. I've been around good friends, and you know, some of them are pretty good, and some of them are not that great. But I don't think any of them were as bad as me. I was always the worst one, I'm pretty sure. But that was. It's just all it does is just make you realize how hard this is. It's so hard.
It is so hard.
How do these guys get out there and they just reel off 350 yards like it's nothing? I'm like, I can't, you know, the people immediately to my left and right are not safe.
I don't know how it happened.
See,
but
those stories happen all the time when guys like us go to a driving range.
I mean, the ones that like shoot off, like squirt out like in front of the next tee box. Like I understand like those are way poorly hit. I had one so poorly hit. It hit the inside of my front leg. The ball hit me in the leg. Now, luckily,
foul tip.
Luckily, like to get the ball that far off course, like you couldn't hit it very hard. So like it didn't hurt, but like, I swung, I hit the ball hit me. I was like, yep, we're doing that again. Cause that's not, that's not supposed to happen.
That was incorrect.
That's not how that's supposed to happen. And my friend kept asking me like, so like, have you played golf before? Have you been out, like on a course? I was like, have you seen where these balls are going? Like, there's no way I'd take this to the golf course. I would lose every shot I take. I'm losing that ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would play a hole and like score like a 30 and be like, I'm done.
Yeah. I've never played golf before. I don't ever plan on starting because I think I would need a golf course to myself for probably every Saturday for 3 years before I'd feel comfortable. Okay. I'm going to go with the group. We're going to try this.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's no way you can do that.
So Kyle is also in our group. He's also picking up golf. I think he's a lot further ahead than I am. He actually played around with some family. He's offered to go out with me when I want to go out and like practice and learn together. But like, Kyle, let me just, I'm a ways away from that. I'm going to be going to four golf, free golf Mondays for a while, trying to figure this out. I may look at like a lesson or two. I don't know. Anyways, golf is hard. I'm trying. I haven't given up yet. Yeah, it's hard.
I'm proud of you, man. There's no way. I'm never going to pick it up. The good thing about 4-2 is, and driving range just in general, you can, they will bring a burger to you.
Yeah. I'd already eaten dinner, but my friend ordered dinner while we were there and their drinks, they had a bunch of stuff on tap. Obviously sodas. My preferred soda was out, so I just had to have water. I was kind of disappointed, but it's okay.
At least you were hydrated. Okay. All right. Everyone. Okay. Sorry. I've teased it enough.
Delayed long enough. Let's get to the barbecue takeout game changer.
This is going to sound so simple, and probably some people have already done this. All I'm talking about is this. I went to Slayton. Actually, I didn't go. My wife went last Friday. She was dying for some brisket mac and cheese at Pit Forks and Smoke Rings. So she went and got that. And we talked about kind of like, hey, well, what else do you want to get? And I said, I want at least one sausage link. So she got a sausage link and then she got some chopped brisket and then just brought it all home. And luckily I was able to come meet her for lunch. What she did on top of this, guys, was the game changer. So she's rolling in the car with brisket mac and cheese, sausage, smoked sausage, and delicious chopped brisket. Before she got home, she went through roses.
Mm. I know where you're going with this.
A dozen fresh, hot tortillas.
Well, here's the thing. Pit Forks and Smoke Rings also make their own tortillas, but I think you only get like one.
Oh, dude, I didn't know that at all. We've only been there twice.
I think you get it if you get like a plate.
Okay.
But go on.
We haven't done plates. The first time we went, we got sandwiches. And the second time we went, we just got like a half pound of chop and you know. What I just said.
If you get like a 2 or 3 meat plate, I think it comes with a tortilla, but only one.
Well, the thing I didn't remember about, because I haven't just gotten tortillas at Roses in forever. They also give you a their kind of medium size of their salsa. And this was a really good salsa day. Sometimes Roses, sorry, I hate to say it, but sometimes Roses medium salsa is pretty weak. This was not. I wasn't sure if it was the arbol or not, but it was a spicy medium salsa. So not only did we have chopped brisket, smoked sausage, brisket mac and cheese, we had salsa. We had barbecue sauce from Pit Forks and Smoke Rings. We had delicious, warm, hot Roses tortillas. And the great thing about those fresh tortillas when you get them from there or United or any place like that, you have to eat them fast.
You do. They don't last.
No choice. They do not last. So, I mean, I was forced to eat tortillas all weekend. It was just great. That is my tip. If you go get some chopped beef or anything like that, or sausage or anything, pick you up some fresh, hot tortillas on the way home. You will not regret it.
The other great thing about barbecue, when you do have leftovers, you can take that leftover meat and put it into some other dish.
True.
I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Michael and his wife actually brought us dinner. It was a smoked brisket enchilada casserole.
Yes, sir.
Or like one of the sides at Pit Forks and Smoke Rings, the brisket mac and cheese. Or you can put it in like a baked potato as a topping. Like leftover brisket goes in just about anything.
Breakfast burritos, man.
Breakfast burritos like Rudy's does. You can do a little Tex-Mex style and make some corn elote cups.
Oh, yeah.
And put brisket in that.
Did you say nachos already?
Nachos is really good. You know who does like a really good barbecue pulled pork nacho is Fuzzy's.
Really? Mm-hmm. I haven't been to Fuzzy's in forever.
They do a white cheese pulled pork nacho, and they're so good.
Well, I'm going to end our food talk with or my portion of it at least, with one final thing. We're going to the Fredericksburg area this weekend, and we're going back to Alamo Springs Cafe, which was one of, I think it was the one or two best burger in the state of Texas several years ago on Texas Monthly.
You'll have to report back on that.
Oh, we went. We have done this. It was, it doesn't matter. It was 4 or 5 years ago, and it was outstanding. So I can't wait to go back, and I will report on this.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Bart Scott. All right. So there won't be an instant reaction podcast this weekend. You get a week off from us moaning and complaining any more than we already have. Won't be any groveling or whatever you want to say, but we will be back next week for our West Virginia preview. For Michael, I'm Spencer. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter at 23 Personnel, Spencer at Puntsuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. Remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.